made me cry, and I cried a lot. I lost your love, baby, thanks a lot. You told our friends as I was passing by that you're not sorry that you made me cry. You said I deserve just what I got. Well, if that's how you feel, honey, thanks a lot. Thanks, thanks a lot. I got a broken heart, and that's all I've got. You made me cry, and I cried a lot. I lost your love, honey, thanks a lot. Oh, Leon.
Nobody will stand with you if you don't stand. God can't stand with you if you don't stand. And don't stand and then sit down. It's worse. It sets a precedent. You know, count the cost. The cost may be dear. It may be everything. It may be your life. Okay? But unless we're willing to value freedom more than our lives, do we really deserve freedom? God can't stand with a man until the man stands. And so God is waiting for us to stand. And at that moment, that when he stands, God could stand with him. And then the other thing is that people could stand with him. You know, nobody can stand with you until you stand.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now.
Alrighty, we're here. It's the 21st of April, Thursday. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. We've got hopefully a few interesting things to talk about tonight, a few new things. And let me check in the chat room and see what's going on. A little bit of slim pickings tonight. Not sure what's going on with the chat room. But I know with our podcast, and there's a lot of people streaming it and whatnot out there that are not on the chat room, so that's fine and dandy. All right, I'm not going to go through the new schedule. The schedule's not changing, okay? Amy and I are still going on at the same times. It's just that Mondays we'll have pre-records on, so nothing else is changing. And that's all I got to say about that. So, I suppose that everyone by now has heard of Target's new decision. You know, Target kind of got on our bad side, summer before last or last summer? I don't remember. When they said that guns were not entirely welcome, they weren't banning them, but they just assumed you didn't bring them in if they had their druthers. And so they don't have their druthers when it comes to me because they didn't ban them. So, and I've told you this before, just because they ban them doesn't mean that it's okay for me to go in there concealed. Because if they ban them, that means they don't need my money, period. And I don't go. So, Doc, I believe that. That's because the older 1911s they sounded like a bag full of bolts when you shake them around. They had the tolerances that Glocks have, and the tighter they've gotten and the finer they've made them, the less reliable they've become. But I wouldn't be surprised that those first ones did that. That was a little different back then. Doc just put on the chat room that there was some of the ones that 1911s went through the Army acceptance test, went through 19,000 rounds without a malfunction. I really wouldn't dispute that, because those I've seen some of those older military guns, and they were, as far as reliability were good, they were fine. But anyway. So anyway, let's get back to Target. They have made the decision now that they're going to allow transgender people to use bathroom of their choice. So that means all you got to do, if you want to go in a girl's bathroom, is just say, "Well, I identify with girls. I think God made a mistake on me. He didn't. The plumbing's not exactly the way it's supposed to be. So." It's okay, and I'm just gonna march right in there, and take a look around, and that's okay with Target, and I really hope the problem is there's just too many people out there, there's too many Americans who say, well, you know, it's their choice. I can understand that, and there will be. A good many people, I fear, because of our the way that our society is degrading, I think that there'll be a good many people out there that see this as a good thing, even though they're not transgender. They're going to use it for an excuse to go in the girls' bathroom. Some with recreational intent, some with criminal intent, and some just curious to say they did. But nevertheless, all that doesn't matter. What matters is that Target is okay with it. Now, as soon as the molestations and the rapes and the pictures and stuff start showing up on Facebook and all that from the Target bathrooms, then I think that Target may determine that they've made a serious mistake. And I would say that, I mean, I do this now. If I go somewhere, a small restaurant or something, and the men's restroom is locked and somebody's in there and there's nobody in the other one, I'll go in and lock the door and do my thing and come out. I'm not going in there when there's a woman in there. And I'm not going to allow a woman to come in there when I'm in there. But if I think that it's an emergency, then I'm going to just waltz right in and lock the door behind me and whatever. But as far as just saying, okay, well, girls, here I come, I don't think that's going to be happening. And I think Target may, I really hope that they live to regret this mistake or learn to realize that it is a mistake and regret it. I really hope that America will once in their miserable life step up to the plate here and stand up and say, you know, we are not putting up with this. We've just got too many people that sit around and do nothing, whether it's patriots ranchers being killed, whether it's ranchers being anybody, not just ranchers, being imprisoned for no reason, whether it's land being taken, people being brutalized and all this stuff. Nobody stands. Maybe this is one time. Maybe they will. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. We'll see what happens. All right. And over this deal, I guess you've heard, everybody knows who Curt Schilling is, right? The baseball dude with quite a background of saying just exactly what he thinks, and sometimes it's not suitable. I mean, sometimes it's not acceptable by everyone that hears him. Well, he has now been fired from ESPN for this very reason, for a post that he put on Facebook about these transgender bathrooms thing. He said, "A man is a man, no matter what they call themselves. I don't care what they are, who they sleep with. Men's rooms were designed for the penis, women's not so much. Now you need laws telling us differently? Pathetic." And they fired him for that. That is unbelievable to me. So it's okay for these people, for Target's employees, I won't even say Target's employee, I'll say Target's executives or, you know, the manager, whoever made these decisions, to say, well, I don't mind if two or three male illegal aliens go into the bathroom with my 9-year-old daughter while she's in there going to the bathroom. Is it possible that they really believe that? You know, something, boys and girls, something's got to give. Something's got to give here before long. This is not going to. I just won't see how it can hold together much longer like this. Unbelievable. Yeah. I keep saying over and over, you know, I keep having faith that America is reaching a breaking point, and that something's going to somebody's going to stand up, and somebody has been standing up. You know, Lavoy Finicum has been standing up. There have been some people standing up, but there's not enough, guys. There's just not enough. People continue to say, "Yeah, when it starts, I'll be there," and everybody just wants to sit and wait, do nothing. You know, I'm sure I still, and I don't know how many 10 million times I've said this, but I still will always hold on to the idea that it could be solved peacefully if that 100 million gun owners out there, you know, 20 million of them would be more than adequate, be just fine. Might even be able to do it with 10 million, I don't know. Would stand up and march on D.C. and say, look, and their state capitals. You know, if just 10% of the gun owners in this country, just that 10% would send, 20,000 to each state capital, 10,000 would probably do it, each state capital on the same day at the same time. And I'd have to do the numbers here and find out we'd have enough. But, you know, 1,000 or so on every city hall. And the remainder on the White House and demand that we get this country back on its feet and do the right thing. Now, would it result in violence? Possibly. That would probably be up to them, not us. I'm sure that if that many people showed up at all these different places, that the powers that be would probably take exception to it. So I'm going to have to go turn that radio down here in a minute. I forgot to turn it down before it started. We got some people talking about whatever over there. Maybe I can hold out till the break here. Mountain Shooter, you know what? We have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten how we got here. We have forgotten the cost that good men and women have paid for us to be in the position that we're at today. And what have we done for it? We have forgotten who we are. We forgot how we got here. C7, I'm glad you dropped in, buddy. It's good to see you. All of you, as a matter of fact. Tribute, I'm glad to see you again. You missed you there for a while. But seeing you back in here a little more regular here lately. Glad to see that. All right. Well, I guess with all that being said here, we'll just take a little break just for the heck of it.
He fell in love with the Indian maid over in the antique store. Girl, I chose your boy. Well, he stood there and said he never let it show. Thought he could never answer yes or no. Got a kiss for Rosalinder. He don't know what he missed. Is it any wonder that his face is red? Girl, I jure that poor old wooden head. He always wore his Sunday feathers and held a tommy hump. The maiden wore cup beads and braids and hope someday he talked. Stood there as a lonely as can be, cause his heart was of an old pine knotted tree. Old Rope Elijah, well, he never got a kiss. Old Rope Elijah, he don't know what he missed. Is it any wonder that his face is red? Elijah, that poor old wooden thing. Have a good time. Customer bought the Indian maid. He took her home so far away, but Oak Elijah stayed. Elijah, your hope. Well, he stood there and said he never let it show.
God made the farmer. But he was not done. He looked down on the wilds of his untamed earth and said,
I need someone who will never be broken. And so his greatest work began. First he filled their belly full of guts and their hearts full of try. Then he called them a cowboy. He needed someone who could handle a horse, teach them, tame them, but never break them. Someone whose soul needed the saddle and would not change with the world around them. So God made a cowboy. He needed someone who could find a hot bull in a 100-section pasture, ride a bronc, hold a family together, read a brand, let wrongdoings go, and pull a tight cinch. God needed someone who didn't mind dusty cow pens, smoking branding irons, long days and cold nights. So God made a cowboy. It had to be someone who could make a living with their rope, cow dog, and a few good horses. Someone who would never know a 40-hour week nor care to. He needed to create a proud man, one who would take a stand and whose greatest compliment would be to have his kids called handy. So God made a cowboy. But after he created the cowboy, he was far from done. While his creation was tough and untamed, they need more than just a good horse to share their name. And no ordinary woman would understand the cowboy. God needed to create a woman who didn't want store-bought roses by the dozen, but rather wild flowers, seldom picked and sweet cowboy loving. He needed someone who could take a good custom in the working pens, love unconditionally, and forgive. Someone who could open her own doors, sweep tack room floors, look past muddy boots into kitchen floors, make a home, hold her own, and have an eye for a good horse. Someone who didn't need lavish and flattery, but would find joy in a spring-born colt. Someone who could raise babies, fix fence, patch jeans, and never waver in the hard times of a cowboy life. So God made a cowboy's wife. And when God fashioned the cowboy and his wife, he made them in his exact image and likeness, and blessed them for all their earthly life.
Now, war is coming between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
All right, we're back. The I guess probably it's not really politically correct to laugh when people get killed, but sometimes it's just kind of funny. It just kind of justice just kind of takes place here, and here we had. Two guys and a girl. They were in their 20s. Two of them 28, and the girl, I think, was 23. And they decided that they would had this all planned out just right, where they'd rob this 80-year-old man. Girl went up to the door and asked if she could use the phone. And, of course, the man says, "Oh, man, come on in, honey." "Yeah, you betcha." Let her in, and before he could get the door shut, these other two thugs pushed past him, come in, started waving a gun around, demanding money and whatnot. Well, didn't work out exactly as they'd planned. The 80-year-old homeowner pulled out his own gun and went to blazing away, and the girl managed to get out, and she run. She left her two compadres in there, and the guy shot both of them, and apparently they both made it out the door and went across the street or went out there a little ways, and one of them died, and the other one was laying there moaning and groaning and squalling and carrying on, and they took him to the hospital, and I guess he survived. And they caught the girl, and now she's behind bars. So, you know, sometimes you just got to love it when a plan comes together. And this plan actually kind of fell apart. But the girl, let's see. Oh, the guy is being held on a $250,000 bail for robbery and conspiracy. And the girl, also charged with robbery and conspiracy, doesn't say what her bail is or if there is one. Anyway, but when they went to investigate this, they found out that the gun that they had was a replica. Didn't work. So that may have had something to do with why the 80-year-old guy was as successful as he was. But the take-home lesson here, there's a couple of lessons, I guess. I guess one of them is to pick a town or a state where people are less likely to have guns, and don't pick on old guys that probably been shooting since before your daddy was born. But I thought that was kind of funny. Man. Let's see here. Let me look at the chat room and see what's going on here. Yep. There's a little bit of Trump talk. You know, I'm thinking Trump's not a bad deal. He's arrogant as hell. But I am all about checking to see what somebody can do that hasn't been a politician for, you know, however many years, and see what a businessman could actually do. You know, there was a time, I don't remember who that black guy's name was. I don't remember who he was with. He founded, it wasn't Wendy's, but, when was that? It was probably, two, three elections ago. And they dug up a bunch of stuff on him from, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. He graciously bowed out, and that was too bad, because I would have liked to seen him see what he could do. But I think people, thanks, Yakima Glock, and Godfather's Pizza is what he says. But I think people are starting to wonder, starting to wise up here a little bit. And it's just like, I've got another, that makes me, reminds me here, I've got another story. That about people wising up. I told you there is a great awakening going on. I mean that. I really mean people are waking up in droves. Let me see if I can find. Here we go. Give me just one second here. Get this opened up here. This came from Dave Bundy's wife. Dave Bundy is in jail with the rest of the Bundys, if you recall. Hang on a minute. Goodness. Anyway, Dave Bundy's wife said yesterday, I took my car into Bringard Auto Repair in Delta, Utah to have my safety inspection done. When I dropped it off, I asked the owner, how much would it cost to fix my air conditioning? He told me that it could cost up to $1,600. I told him, well, don't worry about it right now. I'm just going to go ahead and do the safety inspection. So a few hours later, she come back, pick up her car. Noticed the invoice that they had worked up on the air conditioning. Did my safety inspection. Changed the oil. I went to go pay for it, and the owner's wife told me that they were not going to charge me. The son came over and told her that they take care of the bill because your husband is an American hero. Wow. that would, if I was in a position to do so, next time I needed my truck serviced, I would take my business to Bringard, Bringard or Bringard Auto Repair in Delta, Utah. Wow. That, of course, that really, she told that story to her husband, and of course that lifted his spirits up quite a bit. But that is awesome. I love that story. But that's what I mean, that people are waking up. I under the exact same circumstances 10 years ago, I don't know if the same thing would have happened. Because I think that through this series of events here with Lavoie getting shot and all these other things going on, and the manner in which they're happening, I think is really waking people up. I think it's doing some good. Let's see. Herman Cain was another one that I probably would have, at C7, brought that up. And he may be the one I'm talking about. But, anyway. And Doc, I do remember Bill Jordan. Absolutely. That was, Bill Jordan was fast. He was accurate. And, Bill Jordan was a guy. And this is what I used to practice quite a bit. And I used to do it once in a while, not reliably, not on demand in front of a crowd, but is to hold a little ball or a nightlight bulb or something like that. And I think that's what Bill Jordan used, is a little Christmas tree light bulb or nightlight bulb or something. And he would hold it on the back of his hand, a little over waist level, and drop that bulb and pull the gun out so the bulb landed in the holster. And I've watched him do that several times. I watched him also, he'd do these exhibitions all the time, and he'd start out with, he shot a lot of wax bullets out of his old Model 10, Smith & Wesson. And he started, I don't remember what he started with. It was he did poker chips quite a bit, but I think he worked his way down to a poker chip from something larger. And, he would draw from the hip and shoot from the hip and hit these things. They wasn't very far away, but it doesn't matter. I mean, we're talking little targets. They were probably, 3 or 4, maybe 3 yards away, 10 feet or something like that. And he'd get down to a poker chip, and then he'd get down to something a little smaller than that. Then he got down to a lifesaver. Folks, then he got down to what he called the hole of the lifesaver, and it was an aspirin. He set an aspirin out there on this little stand thing on the table and would shoot from the hip and shoot that aspirin. Doc's right. That's one guy that you would probably not be enthused about breaking into his house. He was very, very fast. Very, very accurate. And he was a lawman for some years. Good friend of Skeeter Skelton and quite a few of the other writers and stuff out there. So, let's see here. Trying to keep up for the chat room here a little bit. And I've said this before with Doc and Yakima Glock's got a little discussion going about the reliability of 1911. They can make them reliable now. It's just that they can't make them reliable and have them cost $3,000. When they're that tight and that pretty, they just don't seem to be that reliable. But like I told you, that old llama I had, it was sloppy. It shot pretty well. It was reasonably accurate. But I don't know if it ever had a malfunction. All the time we used it as a rental gun. Didn't clean it very often, and it just run and run and run. And I finally sold it to a guy that thought he couldn't live without it, and. A lot of these newer ones just have a little trouble without some work, sometimes some extensive work. Okay, let's see. Let's look here. Let me see this one. This was out of California. And this is, This, let me check the date on this. Yes, brand new, April 21st. Assembly Bill 2607, heard yesterday, one of the most unconstitutional things that's come out here. The bill is going to try, anyway, to expand the scope of the recently enacted unconstitutional gun violence restraining orders. This allows your employee, your co-workers, to violate your Second Amendment rights, so to speak. It allows an employer, a co-worker, a mental health worker, who has seen the person as a patient or an employee of a secondary or post-secondary school that the person has attended, to file for a gun violence restraining order. It allows an employer, a co-worker, a mental health worker, who has seen the person as a patient or an employee of a secondary or post-secondary school that the person has attended, to file for a gun violence restraining order. What this means, if it's signed, your boss, your co-workers, or your anti-gun professor at school could, for all intents and purposes, take away your Second Amendment rights. There was a chance, they say, earlier to kill the bill in this anti-gun assembly public safety committee. Unfortunately, there were just enough Democrats in there, two Democrats, Patty Lopez and Evan Lowe, who weren't in the room to hear those. So they were able to, the pro-gun folks were able to jam up the phone systems to a point that we shut them down during the vote. And it appears like it wasn't enough, though, in time. So there, it did make it out of committee. So now this and seven other anti-gun bills, we talked about this a little bit last night, about some of the anti-gun stuff. We've gained a lot of ground in a lot of areas, on a lot of fronts here, but we're losing quite a bit in the other areas, too. This one and the seven other anti-gun bills that made it out of committee yesterday, and one of which got moved to another date, all heading to the Appropriations Committee next. And this is where, I guess, quite a good number of the bills go to die. Well, we'll see what happens. So, for those of you that, anyway, go to the, I'm sure that it's not a, not up for non-resident Californians to sign, but I'm going to put this link in the chat room for you if you do live in California, Peanut Rider and Mountain Shooter, anybody else that you may know, get this to them. There's a petition you can sign. You may be able to stop it. Maybe not. But an old Mountain Shooter, I believe, was talking about seeing if you could pondering on getting out of California. Yep. Can't blame him for that. You know, I met a guy, when was it? Where was I at? It was like day before yesterday. Where was I? Trying to think what I was doing. Oh, is it... Yeah, it was at the barbershop. I went, my barber called me, I believe it was yesterday. My barber called me, and she said, you know, I've got a faucet's just leaking, it's getting worse and worse, and I just can't get anybody to come work on it. You know, my son-in-law is a plumber, and he's got the parts, and he just can't find the time. How do you not find the time to go fix Ma-in-law's faucet? You know, you get off at night. I know you're tired. How long does it take to put those rubber gaskets in a faucet? 15 minutes? You know, for crying out loud. So she said, anyway, I found your card, and I just wondered if you, by any chance, if you would have time sometime to come down and look at this for me. And I said, sure. I just dropped everything and went into town, and not that it matters, but I went to take all that, took it apart, and all it was a little bit of debris stuck under under the washer there. I just cleaned that out, and it works just fine. I got ready to leave, and walked by this guy that was sitting there in the chair waiting, and he says, "Are you you an ex-cop or ex-law enforcement or something?" I said, "No." And I was waiting for the next question. You know, why are you carrying a gun? I was going to tell you, because the cop's too heavy. But anyway, we started talking, and I don't remember how the conversation came up. Something about California. And he said, "Yeah, and that's why I'm here." And I said, "Oh, you escaped too, huh?" He said, "Yep, I finally got out of that poop hole." And he was glad to. And there, we had some neighbors moving in right next door to us here. They come over and introduce them, nice folks, and they escaped. He said, "I could not wait until I retired." He said, "It's just as soon as we had everything ready to go, and as soon as it was done, I was done." He said he packed up and got out of there. You know, tribute. I'm going to see. I've never done this before. Ever. During the show, checked out a video that was in the chat room. But apparently it has something to do with either accuracy or speed or both. So I'm going to check it out right now and see what happens. And I hope this doesn't tick anybody off. That's 8 minutes long, so obviously I'm not going to watch the whole thing. Apparently, or the opening scene here, looks like there's a mud test going on. Okay.
Hey, guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of In Range. We're actually doing a mud test today that I want to do. It hasn't been heavily requested, but I think it's interesting from a historical perspective. We hear all this legend and lore about the P-08 Luger being unreliable in dirt and mud. However, they kept it in service through World War I into World War II, and I think the real reason they switched away from the P-08 Luger wasn't necessarily a reliability issue, but was based on the manufacturing cost and the ability to make them in the amount of time they needed to make them to get enough of them into the field. Thus, the P-38 came about. So, we're going to do this today, is we're going to fire this, test fire one magazine, then we're going to dump it in our, you know, in-range, copywritten mud and filth, and we're going to see what happens when this gun is subjected to the filth of the Verdun. All right, so there's one magazine, properly fired, no problems whatsoever. Going to dump that mag. I'm actually going to put something into the muzzle because we're not testing the explosion of the gun. We're just testing the reliability. We got a little earplug here we're going to cram in there. Don't do that at home. It's just to keep mud out. Got an extra mag. Gun is hot. And
safety.
Safety's on. Here we go.
Oh.
Ew!
He just dropped it into my...
But that's just one side. Let's get the other. I'd say that's pretty bad for what you would consider...
Oh, big deal. All I did get a little mud on the outside.
I think that's pretty horrible.
All right.
Hold that still for a sec. Let's get a close look at that thing.
It's got mud on the outside of it, so what?
Yee.
All right. I got to wipe just... I am wiping a smidge of mud off to be able to move the safety down. And here we go.
Not
that was the first
Well, I'm happy for him, but anyway. Okay, let's see here. If you want to see something, go to my YouTube channel and look up the one where I took both an AK and a Glock and a 1911. And filled them all up with mud. I mean, not with mud, with dirt and sand and stuff. Actually poured it inside the gun, filled the barrels up, filled the workings up, completely saturated, if that's the correct term, the guns in sand and gravel and stuff. I didn't just lay it down in the mud. And, you know, there's other ones where people have taken AKs and whatnot, and they bury it in the dirt and then pull it up and load it and shoot it. Okay, so it got dirty. Not a whole lot got inside there. I took the dust cover off of the AK, I field stripped it basically and filled it up with dirt. I did the same thing with a Glock. I field stripped it, put the magazine, all the parts in the dirt, covered them up, Now this was not friendly dirt. This was sand and gravel and rocks and scooped up the frame full of dirt, and all I did was dump it out, put the gun together, and fire it. And I can just about guarantee you that Luger wouldn't have stood that if it had been done in that manner. I didn't plug the barrel to keep anything from getting in it or nothing. It was, yeah. And the snow test, that was 38 below zero that morning. It was, it may have warmed up to 30 below because it was 38 below at 1 o'clock in the morning. We went out first thing the next morning, so it was probably still 30 below. And, it was, we didn't stay out there very long, I can tell you that. We went out there and played a little bit and decided that was enough. Well, let's hit one more quick story here because this is kind of neat. There's a company called H&N Sports. I've never heard of them. I may have seen it somewhere and didn't pay any attention. But they've got a pellet for pellet guns for air rifles. And evidently they've got popular with air gun hunters. They're looking for accuracy and whatnot. And they've expanded it now up to 25 caliber. And they have they've got one called the Hornet, which has a brass tip in it, of course, harder than the polymer tips that they find in a lot of those types of pellets. But this one has a very sharp, little pointed brass insert in the lead itself, in the pellet itself. So this makes it where it's, according to them, ideal for small and medium-sized game and birds and whatever. But the Hornet, it says, is designed for more than just accuracy and penetration. Unlike many pellets found in the market today, the Hornet is designed to fit in most rotary magazines for PCP air guns. This means means more powerful shots, faster follow-up shots, in addition to their excellent penetration. They're now available in 177, 22, and 25 caliber. Here's a... They've got a... let's take each of them. The 177 is 8.8 grains, 5.5 foot-pounds of energy. At the optimum distance, they're saying, is 30 meters. I don't believe that for a minute. I think it's much higher than that. There's 225 of them in a package, in a little tin can, and they're $30. That's a little steep for air gun stuff, but if it's like anything else, if you want performance, you got to pay for it. You can get the $6.99 pellets out there, and they do fine for a lot of stuff, but if you're looking for a higher degree of accuracy and penetration, then you know you're going to pay a little more. But look at the other side of this coin here. You're getting 225 rounds for $30. A lot of your practicing and small game hunting and stuff like that can be done with an air gun. We've talked about air guns at length here. It's been several months ago, probably more than a year ago. And so if you can go out and practice and shoot 225 rounds for $30, that's not that bad a deal. You can't go out and shoot 225 9mm for $30. Now, obviously, the 9mm makes more noise and has more energy and everything else, but if you're just looking to practice or do some hunting, the 22 caliber, 16 grains, 12 foot-pounds of energy, same 30 meters. I still don't believe it. 200 rounds per can, and they're the same price. The 25 caliber is 23.16 grains, 18.5 foot-pounds of energy, same 30 meters, and I still don't believe it. 150 rounds per tin, and they're $25, $24.99. So I wouldn't mind trying some of those. I told you when we talked about pellet guns quite a bit that I have put away a nice pellet gun with two barrels, a 177 and a 22 caliber barrel, and pellets for both of them, just in the event that things get to a point where I don't want to use my ammunition up, my 22s and stuff. Now, don't think that these 22s are, I mean, that these air guns are all that quiet. People say, I want to get one because they're silent. No, they're not. A good air gun with the kind of velocities and stuff that you get nowadays, they are not quiet at all. They are every bit as loud as a 22 short, maybe even a little louder than that. So it's a misconception that people have about air guns, but they're pretty quiet. I mean, as far as, 22 short is not that loud. If you're going out just to try to get a couple of rabbits or a couple of grouse for the pot and get back to wherever your hide out there, then, a pellet gun may be the way to go. And you can store, tens of thousands of these pellets in a very small area, and as long as you have a few parts and pieces, some O-rings and gaskets and a few things that you may need to keep that gun running, then that could be your go-to scavenging gun and stay out of your other ammunition. Now, back in the day when I hunted a lot with I had an old, I think it was a Benjamin. I don't remember. I can still see it in my mind. I shot that thing. I shot so many thousands of pellets through that thing. It was unbelievable. But I tell you, that 22 caliber pellet out of that old gun, I pumped that thing up 10 times. And it would kill the hell out of a jackrabbit or a coyote-sized game. I never had the opportunity to try it on a deer or anything, but I did kill a few feral dogs with it and stuff. So I have little doubt that you could get up within 15-20 yards of a deer and place your shot properly. I have little doubt that it would do the job. So, I told you before, it's not a bad idea to have one more tool in your toolbox, just one more thing, just in case. If it becomes a bartering thing, or if it becomes your main scavenging, your main means to put food on the table, it might not be a bad idea. I would prefer to have the ones that pump up so you can choose how much you pump them. The ones that I have, unfortunately, the barrel breaks and it's a one pump deal. And I don't like those. I would rather have one that pumps up so I can pump it up, three times, five times, and keep it much quieter. Five times at squirrels and stuff within 20 yards, 15 yards or so, five times is plenty of power, and it's a whole lot quieter. 10 times it's a little louder, but I can also shoot out there 40 or 50 yards pretty effectively too. So anyway, it does, and Doc is absolutely right up there when he says that people ought to bone up on their trapping skills and stuff a little bit. Yeah, I'm a firm believer, absolutely. And I would also say there's a million types of snares and deadfalls and stuff that you can make with materials that you can find just out in the woods and make good, reliable, effective traps, both for catching them alive and killing them both. If you want to catch them alive and keep them alive, I told you I caught 11 quail one time in an apple crate with a figure 4 trigger under it, And we kept those for quite a while. You could do the same thing in a survival situation, and you catch a breeding pair or two of whether it's quail, squirrels, magpies, whatever in the hell it is, and literally raise them and provide, you know, a perpetual supply of food for you, man. Anyway, we could get off on that and talk all night long, so maybe we'll talk about that again at another point and tomorrow night is Liberty Lounge, and it will go on as scheduled, same time, same station, and we shall see you then. I appreciate all of you joining me tonight.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, make you want to holler, holly-ho, burns your tummy, don't you know. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, grape wine in a mason jar, homemade in broad school by a friend of mine after class.
You've been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, make you want to holler, holly-ho, burns your tummy, don't you know. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, 4-H and FFA, on a field trip to the farm, me and a friend sneak off behind this big old barn where we uncovered a covered up moonshine still.
Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
Chug lug, chug lug. Make you wanna holler, holly ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug lug, jukebox and sawdust floor.
And catch Living Way Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, make you wanna holler, holly-ho, burns your tummy, don't you know. Chug-a-lug, 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 chug-a-lug.